At this time, we'll have the scripture that will be used with the message. You've noticed that the message is dealing with Daniel, but none of the scripture is coming from Daniel today, but I think you'll see the relationship as Steve shares this morning. So first of all, from 1 Kings 3, verses 4 through 15. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. From James 3, verses 13 to 18, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Blessing Steve as you share your word.
Morning, everyone. Buenos dias. Is that... Just want to quote from Solomon for a moment from Proverbs chapter 1. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son and my daughter, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." We want to talk about the idea of education and having a teachable heart. And just to kind of lead with this understanding that we're created to pursue knowledge, to be shaped in character, in skills, in just the way we present ourselves morally, but that we're moldable and we're pliable, not just when we're children, but we're created to be shaped and shaped more and more to be the godly people that the Lord has created us to be. And so I want to look especially at the life of Daniel and just see how his life was shaped, how he was educated in many different forms throughout his years. And if you remember back when we began this series on Daniel from the first chapter, it said about Daniel, in all manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, Daniel and his three friends, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. So there was something going on in the midst of Daniel's life and his friends that they were really being shaped towards excellence. Not only to accomplish the king's bidding, but also to give honor to God. So as we think about this morning, think about education as being things we do deliberately to help create in us more knowledge and greater skills and better character, all those things that make up who we are. Not just what the knowledge that we have, but all the abilities that we have to express in our lives. And it's some kind of a deliberate process that we go through. So today, especially, we're thinking about school. It's the beginning of the school year. And so that's one deliberate way that we help to instill education in people's lives. I was reading when I thought about this topic, I pulled out a book from my bookshelf. It was written by Thomas Groom, who's I think he's a Catholic theologian and professor of education. And his description of education, I think he was especially looking at Christian education, but it's three parts to it. We're building on the past. Think about all the knowledge and everything that's been accumulated before you. So we build on the past, but we're also making creative and appropriate applications to that knowledge that we've gained in our lives today. But then also, as we educate, as we're forming up our own lives or other people's lives, there's this goal for the future of how that person or how that this church or how these people will express their lives into the future. So that's what I want to especially look at today. And thinking about that for Daniel's life too. Like Daniel built on the past. If you remember when he was chosen, he and his friends, these exiles from Jerusalem who came into Babylon, they chose these young men of nobility who had a past education and who somehow were demonstrating that they were really skilled at being able to apply this knowledge. And that included Daniel. One thing that I discovered this week, and I found this in an article by a man named A.T. Jones, who's writing about Daniel's education. And he said, Daniel was raised during the time of King Josiah and King Josiah's reforms. If you know anything about King Josiah from Judah, a couple things about him. One is you might know him as the child king. He became king when he was just a boy. And then 26, I think it was about 26 years later into his reign, and this is hard for me to imagine, but someone was working in the temple and in this room found the law of Moses and kind of dusted it off and read it and said, the king should know about this. Which it just, it's amazing to me because I just picture the people of Israel and Judah, the kings, they'd at least recognize that there's a law of Moses, a law from God that was handed down, all these commandments that they were supposed to follow. And at least somehow to have this sense that that's kind of important, even if they weren't really faithful to it. But they pull out this the law of Moses, and it's read to Josiah, and it says that like he's cut to the heart. He's really convicted about this. And it just really moves into this place of repentance. They go and talk to the prophet Huldah, and she says, this is what the Lord says. My people haven't been following this, Josiah, since you have been convicted about this and are repentant, you're not going to see the judgment or destruction I'm going to bring. you know, that will come later. But Josiah goes into action, and he has the book of the covenant, the covenant of God, read before all the people. And the king stood by the pillar, and he renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands with all of his heart and with all of his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. And all the people pledged themselves to this covenant as well. And then not only that, but then Josiah goes into action. He has removed from the temple all the articles that were made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. So the temple of God had become a place to worship other gods. And he had all that removed and burned out in the outside of the city. He did away with the idolatrous priests who burned incense to Baal. He got rid of the Asherah pole that was in the temple of the Lord. He had it burned outside the city. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the people. And he even went out beyond the city to a place where the people were sacrificing their sons and daughters to the god Molech. And he had that place destroyed. And so he did this work of cleansing. And all that would have happened in Daniel's childhood. So if he's being educated, he's being educated in all of these reforms, and is actually being educated to know the law of God. So you can see how, when we read these stories about Daniel, how his heart was like Josiah's heart to be faithful to God. And it just really struck me, like, what if, and this is all happening just within 20 years of when King Nebuchadnezzar comes and overtakes Jerusalem and destroys the temple. But if that little time of reform wouldn't have happened, what would the people have been taking with them to Babylon? You know, what kind of religious faith or expression would they have had if it wasn't for Josiah? But Daniel had this foundation. Like, this was the past, the past of his people, the righteousness that they were called to. He was educated in that, and he was able to take that into his heart and into his mind, and that became part of who he was. So just think about that for you. Like, what's been the past, all the past knowledge that's been passed on to you, or the, just expressions like the character of your parents or your grandparents, the legacy of people who have gone before you, the example that they've set, the teachings of Jesus and Scripture that get taught to us in church and other places. And then even beyond that, all the scientific discoveries that have gone before us, all the artistic techniques and expressions that have been put into practice before us, the writing skills that people have developed and passed on to us. So we have the opportunity to learn from others and from all the people who have sought to gain knowledge and to gain skill and to gain character before us. So one way you can think about going to school is when you're going to school, you're hearing through your textbooks, through your teachers, all the things that, the knowledge that has been, provided to us and has been expressed in the past. But it's not enough just to know that. And I remember when I was in school, I would often have this sense of just give me the information. Don't make me think hard about it. You know, like the question about the water and could that picture have filled all of them? You know, just the application, what do you call them? The word problems in math and all the different things where it's, you had to apply, like that just took more effort. But that's what it's all about. You know, if we just say, I just want the information. And if we learn that for a week and forget it, you know, what good is that? But to be able to work, what we've learned is so important. And so again, it seems as if Daniel really took what he was taught, both in his past in Jerusalem and then what he was being taught in Babylon, and was really able to apply that because he became well known for his wisdom and his ability to lead and to work things out. And we even see that he was given revelation from God above to be able to share truth with the king. But there's this key moment in our education when we're not just accumulating knowledge, but somehow we're taking ownership of it. Like it's becoming who we are, and it's starting to be expressed in our life. And when we talk about the stages of faith, like that's a really important moment when our faith goes from, this is my parents' faith, this is the faith of my church, to all of a sudden, like, this is my faith now, you know? And that's what I think was powerful about when we had baptism for Alana or anybody's baptism, when they can say, this faith that I've heard about, now that's mine. And I want to live into it. Like, I want that to be expressed in my life. So if you were in Miss McGill's art class, right, you learned these different art techniques, painting or sculpture or whatever. But then you have to take that, what other people have done with art, and somehow make it your own expression. You know, you don't just recreate other people's art. You make your own art. You know, and we could say that about anything. I was going through, you know, we've been packing up for a couple months, and I came across this certificate from 1999 that was signed by Paul Zehr. I took a course with him. I think it was five pastors that we met regularly, and we learned theological things, but we especially talked about how does that get applied in our ministry. You know, so we worked through this information and knowledge and tried to make application to it. And so hopefully that's still bearing fruit. Like there's traces of that in what, how I'm trying to apply it today. But there's something about we take this knowledge that has been accumulated and that's been passed on to us, and now it's our own and we begin to express it. It got expressed in Daniel's life. There's this understanding in scripture, and it's especially a Hebrew way of knowing of what it means to know, where you know it because you've experienced it. Not just I know it because someone gave me that information. And so in John's writings, especially, you see that when he talks about love. And in 1 John 4:8, he says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, out of this experience with God, we've experienced love. Like, we know what love is, not just because someone gave us a definition of love, but we've experienced it with God, and now we're beginning to live it towards God and towards others. And by doing that, we understand God better because we're practicing God's love. And so it's where we're intentionally engaging in experience, and not just filling our minds with information. So Daniel's not only applying all of the information that's been given to him all the years, but also the character and the faithfulness that he's been nurtured in. And you can see that come out, not just in the way that he goes about his business as one of the wise men of Babylon, but you can see it in the decisions he makes about prayer and about who to worship, that he's really living into the teachings, the commands of God, and the examples like Josiah that were set before him. And so then this leads to the third part. In the past, there's been all this accumulation of wisdom and understanding and ways to live. And then the present, we're beginning to apply that to our own lives and live it out. And then for the future, the goal is that this would impact this world. That, as Christians, we would talk about it as we're being prepared to live in the kingdom of God and not the kingdoms of this world today and forever. And Daniel learned that, I think, especially through the visions or the dreams that he interpreted. Again, if you remember, he interpreted a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. It's that dream where Nebuchadnezzar said, I had a dream, and all of you wise men, I want you not only to interpret it, but to tell me what the dream was in the first place. And nobody could do that except Daniel was inspired by the Spirit of God to be able to do that. And so he says, King, this is the dream that you had. And so just try to picture this in your mind, that there's this a large statue, enormous and dazzling, awesome in appearance. The head of it is pure gold. The chest and the arms are silver. The belly and the thighs are bronze, and then the legs are of iron, and the feet, iron and clay mixed together. And so, King, while you were watching this, a rock that was cut out, not by human hands, struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. So picture the magnificence of this statue, but then in the end, they turn out like chaff, like just this light stuff that just easily got blown away by the wind and was no more. The rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain that filled the whole earth. And so the interpretation is, the God of heaven has given you, Nebuchadnezzar, dominion and power and might. He's placed all of mankind and the beasts of the fields, in your hands. So you're the head of gold. And then we won't get into it, but there's the succeeding kingdoms, but they all pass away. But this rock, which represents God and his kingdom, stands forever. And it says, in those times, the king of the kings, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And we could look at that and say that happened during the Roman times with Jesus as he set up that kingdom that will never be destroyed. Nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it will itself endure forever. So Daniel's gaining understanding through this, that the kingdom of this world will not stand, but there is a kingdom that will stand, the kingdom of God with Jesus as its head. He's yet to know that part of it. But the application then, when we think about how we are being formed up and how we're trying to form others, is we can prepare ourselves to thrive and to be aligned with the kingdoms now that will not stand, the values, the ways of doing business, the ways of treating people or mistreating people, of having dominion or domination over people, that will not stand. Or we could prepare ourselves to thrive and align ourselves with the kingdom that will stand forever. We could prepare ourselves and others to be excellent in living the ways of the kingdom of God that's already taking shape in this world as we follow Jesus and establish his goodness and righteousness all around us. So I looked up Lancaster Mennonite on the Lancaster Mennonite High School or Lancaster Mennonite Schools on their website. I looked up, I thought they must surely have a purpose statement. And probably every school that you'd look up has something, but this is what Lancaster Mennonite says. We inspire students with an excellent, well-rounded pre-K to 12 grade education in a nurturing and Christ-centered environment. At Lancaster Mennonite, students will learn how to live and serve beyond themselves so they can engage in work that will have lasting impact on the church and society. So there's a statement that would reflect this, that we're trying to prepare students that will be able to be excellent and have a lasting impact on this world and this society and the church as we live out the values of Jesus. So At this, you know, right around this very same time, Jeremiah is prophesying to the people there who are in Babylon, and he's telling them, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for Babylon, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So just this challenge towards excellence of the people there, even though they're in exile, to make a positive contribution to the place, where they are living. And even more so, have an impact that gives honor and glory to our God in the way that you live your lives. So, as I was thinking through this, I remember back, it was my last year at Temple, and we were having a conversation in one of our classes, and by this time it was just physical therapy students. And we had this question to talk about, like, where is all this training leading us towards? You know, like what's this going to do for us? And some of the most outspoken people, I just remember this, just mainly talked about, the income that they were going to make, the possibility for career advancement, and, how it'd be a stepping stone to greater things and greater positions. And I felt a little naive thinking, this seems like a good job to serve people, you know, like, and I don't want to make myself sound too pure. Like, I love this so much, I'll do it for free as long as I can help people. I wasn't, you know, income mattered to me and career advancement, but it just, to me, it felt unbalanced. Like, it was all about, how this is going to benefit me or thinking about how can I gain more and more and more in this life? And just didn't seem like there was very much about what it meant to serve others with this career. So, to me, it's kind of like that saying of Jesus, seek first the kingdom and all these other things will be added. You know, seek first how this education, how we're being formed up in all these different ways, how that benefits the kingdom. God's going to take care of us, and this education is going to help us in a lot of ways to provide some kind of security, whatever the Lord wants to provide for us. But having that overall goal that somehow we're being shaped towards the purposes of God and what he has for us. So just in conclusion, education is more than just kids going to school. You know, even for those who are in school, education goes beyond the lessons that are taught. And hopefully the ways that they're encouraged to apply it, but it's how they're, interacting with us in church. How their eyes are open in wonder to, creation and how God's speaking through creation. And then it's not just for those school age, but that we're all continuing to be educated till the day we die. And hopefully we never lose that sense of wonder, of pursuing new understandings, of allowing the Spirit of God to continue to shape our lives in, more faithful and godly ways, new ways that we can learn how we can honor God and bless others with our skills and with all that we express ourselves through. So let me close in prayer, just that God might give us that heart to continue to grow, each one of us. Lord God, we are grateful that you've put it in our hearts to always be pliable, to be moldable, that we can always be a greater expression of who you've created us to be. We can grow in our faithfulness. Never let us be hardened in our hearts or blocked in our willingness to learn and to say that I need to maybe make a turn in my life and understand things in a new way. Just continue to give us that kind of soft heart. We pray that this will happen through the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen.